Leandra.
And I'm Lua, and this is episode 1 of the Superheroes of Los Angeles.
This is a podcast about the awesome people who make Los Angeles a better place to live, work, and play.
Today we're talking to Carlos Moran, Director of Operations at the Weber Community Center. So I know it as the Weber Community Center, but can you tell us, because it used to be have a different name, and it's a part of a larger group, so do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, so the larger organization is Special Service for Groups, and we're a division of them, known as Weber Community Center.
Okay, so what do you do at Weber Community Center?
At Weber Community Center, I'm Director of Operations. I'm basically charged with transforming an old abandoned Weber Bread factory into a multi-service center in South Los Angeles. It's a big project, and there's a lot of different moving parts, but it's coming along pretty well. We're 3.5 years into the project.
Mm-hmm.
The first phase of it was to move in and anchor a program into that facility. So what we did is we brought in an existing child and family outpatient mental health clinic that was part of our organization, Special Service for Groups, and we started there by anchoring that program. We started, I think, we had about 40 staff, in that facility, and then now we've grown to having multiple programs and probably close to 120 different staff members.
So tell us why the bread building?
Why the bread building?
Yeah.
Well, it's the story came about that the landlord, the person who owns that building, the developer, is a good partner of our organization. So, we just kind of, he's been a great supporter and really giving us the freedom to use that huge a piece of land to provide, communities, to provide services to the community. So it used to, Weber Bread, that factory was such a community, it is a community landmark. And then for whatever reason, Weber Bread went out of business in Los Angeles, and I think it moved its operations to Chicago, and eventually it stopped and just ceased all its operations. But, hundreds of families were employed there. We hear stories of, families and people saying, oh, we used to wake up to the smell of bread. We loved it.
Mm-hmm.
My husband used to work there. My father used to work there. We used to take field trips there as children. And these are adults well above their 50s telling us these stories.
Wow.
So that's one of the reasons why we decided to keep the name Weber or keep Weber as part of the name and rename it Weber Community Center, because, it's a community landmark, and we wanted to stay relevant and connected to them.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that process of transforming it into a community center and what that was like?
Well, we're still in the process. It's not, it's a long-term project. It used to, we could have gone about it several different ways. And one way is, you start a capital campaign and raise millions and millions of dollars. But we don't have the resources or really the energy to embark on a huge project like that. So we're kind of, what we're doing, the model that we're using is instead of us as an organization using this huge amount of space and providing all of the services, we're leveraging our community partnerships and collaborating with different entities who can come in and bring their own resources and build out on their own. We have this space for them, and kind of everyone bringing in their own resources to create this space, as opposed to having one agency doing it all. So everyone brings in their expertise, We have health education on site, homeless services on site, trauma resource center on site for victims of crimes. We have drug prevention and treatment for youth. We have outpatient mental health services for children, families, adults, basically for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you're really holistic. You're really approaching this from a very holistic way.
Yeah, and that's really the plan for it. It's really to have to understand that we are, you know, we have to impact our whole goal is to impact the health of the community, and you know, by anchoring our mental health program there, you know, it kind of really sank the vision of being inclusive and understanding what health means and going beyond just primary health and physical health care, but really looking at mental health, educational health, economic health, housing health, and expanding what health means.
Mm-hmm. It's such an innovative approach also to leverage everything that everyone else has to offer into that space to really bring health to the community. That's such a new way of thinking. I don't think a lot of people approach the work in that way.
Right. Yeah, and it's such a challenge. It comes with its own challenges. You know, you have different entities, you have different agencies, different programs coming in who have their own way of doing, you know, running their operations. So it is a challenge to have everyone working together. But nonetheless, we're you know, just the fact that we are working together and under one roof in one space is a huge accomplishment. And our long-term goal is to really have an integrative system of service within that center, where you know, family can come in for mental health services, and at the same time be able to receive housing assistance and health education, have a gym where they can go and get some physical activity in, instead of, you know, going to taking the bus or spending a day traveling throughout the county to access services.
So a real social work project, which is what you studied, I believe. What inspired you to go into social work?
What inspired me to go into social work? Well, I always knew I've always had social work values in me without knowing without having a name to them. So I always knew I wanted to do something for the community, on behalf of the community, you know, taking my life experiences and really kind of knowing that some you know, I could prevent someone from having to go through the experience that I did as a child, and what my siblings did as a growing up, and what my parents experienced. So that kind of has always been something that's my personal experience has always been something that that's driven me to do the work that I do. And then, you know, I found out what social work, you know, I was in undergrad, and one of my professors called me in, and she's like, "What are you going to do, you know, after this?" I'm like, "I'm not too sure." I told her kind of what my plan was, what my vision was, as far as opening up a community center. She's like, "Oh, it sounds like you want to do social work." And I told her, I'm like, "Heck no, I do not want to do social work. I hate social workers." Not really, I didn't hate them. But in my head, I was thinking that because, you know, I didn't really understand what social work was. Every time I had heard the social work, it brought up negative feelings for me and negative emotions, because I grew up in foster care, you know, from the time I was 12 years old. So you know, when someone came and they introduced themselves to me and said, "Oh, I'm so-and-so and I'm your social worker," you know, from that moment on, it came from a negative experience for me. Mm-hmm. So I understood social workers, like I think the general public does, is social workers being those who work for in the child welfare system.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my personal experience, you know, they put kids in foster care, like myself, and make up our families. That was my experience early on of the term. But then I realized that, you know, that wasn't the case. And I looked into social work, and I was like, I loved it. I fell in love with it. I was like, everything that I wanted to do, you know, all the, you know, the social work values, social justice, you know, human rights, and, you know, working to just make the world a better place. It just really, it solidified what I wanted to do in life. And I was like, oh, wow, I can actually make it a career, and I can learn these skills and help me put all this to action. So that's kind of, that's how I got into social work, and I guess my personal life experience is what inspired me.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I'm also a social worker. I just recently got my MSW, and I do think a lot of the perception of social work is so related to direct practice and therapy and child welfare. And, you know, for me, it's very similar that I realize that social work is so broad, and so hearing you talk about your experience, you know, at a community center and organizing at that level and really redefining health, I think it's really exciting just to hear all the different ways that social work is out there in the world and all the different things that we can do.
Yeah, social work is wonderful. I love it. I think that, I mean, I can do so much with it. I've learned so many skills, and, you know, I see, I have clients, you know, I do mental health practice, but I also do the macro practice, and just being able to know that I can impact someone on a direct level, but I can also impact the larger community. That's great. I'm also, Lou, I'm not sure if you knew, but I'm an adjunct professor at USC for School of Social Work, so I've been doing that for 4 years, and you know, having, you know, being able to work with students who are coming into the field and really kind of giving them hands-on experience and work, it's everything comes full circle, I feel like, and it's a pretty good feeling and a blessing.
I didn't know that. That's really cool. So what kind of, when you define social work for your students, is this the kind of work that you, is this how you define it for them, or how do you feel that you're transmitting your concept of social work to the next generation of people moving into that field?
It's our field of social work, it is very mental health and clinically focused. So I'm able to bring in a perspective of social work that is, you know, hands-on, working on a macro level, working, you know, instead of having interventions on a personal level and working with someone who has depression and having clinical interventions at that level, it's more having community-wide interventions and, you know, kind of bringing in the example of Weber Community Center and how can we look at this as a sort of social work intervention. Look at it from that paradigm, and know that we are impacting people, that we are impacting communities. You know, we might not see it, you know, directly when we do this type of work, because most of the time we have other clinicians and frontline staff who are doing the direct contact work. But nonetheless, when we look at numbers, we measure our impact, we measure our effectiveness, we can see that there is a change happening on a greater scale as opposed to just on an individual level.
I'm really interested in hearing more about that and the impact that you see at the community level. And I know that you said that you guys are still in the process of you're in year three of the process of transforming this into a community center, but what kind of impact have you seen at the community level and also at the individual level as well?
Yeah. So on the individual level, that's the most rewarding because you kind of see it more often. And, you know, we see families who are in custody battles whose children are removed from the home because of domestic violence, because of, you know, neglect, whatever it may be. And we see these families come back together. You know, we provide wraparound services for them, case management, mental health. And we see families united and making an effort, you know, parents making an effort to improve their lives and the lives of their children. That type of impact is just invaluable. And when you walk into the center and you hear a kid just, you know, "Hi, Mr. Carlos," like, that's the most beautiful feeling ever. And it's just, it's rewarding. It's a tangible impact that we can see and that our staff can see. On a larger scale, you know, we're still working out, how do we measure this project? Like, how do we measure the integration that we have? How do we measure this impact? Because we have so many different aspects that we're addressing. And our center, we have people coming in from different parts of South Los Angeles. You know, initially we wanted to focus within a 3-mile radius and measure the impact within the 3-mile radius, but we're realizing that we're serving people from, you know, beyond that radius. So measuring the impact on that larger scale is in the works as far as really coming up with a good design, because there's so many different factors, you know, and what's really attributed to us. But we definitely measure individual impact, and we know that we are making a difference.
I know that it's in general, but in South Los Angeles specifically, you know, mental health has a really negative connotation to people. What do you say to those people, and do you see that being part of a cultural change in the work that you're doing?
Yeah, it's tough. We have, you know, we work with schools in the area, and oftentimes we'll get referrals and from the schools, from a counselor or, you know, someone working in there, and the parents are like, "My son is not crazy. There's nothing wrong with my son. My son or my daughter are not depressed," or, you know, they resist the notion of you know, just the term mental health, whether we describe it in English or Spanish. But then it's, you know, really just working on stigmatizing the term and working with folks and letting them know that it's part of your overall health, you know, and that, you know, your physical and your mental health are connected and one impacts the other. And, you know, once we really build some sort of rapport with them, they understand it, but nonetheless, stigma is a barrier that we have to get past. You know, it's a cultural barrier. We work with African American and Latino families, and, you know, there's and Spanish and English and bilingual speaking, and, you know, the stigma of mental health just across the whole board is pretty strong. So we have to just work on it. Nonetheless, we still serve hundreds of people. I mean, I think we have an active enrollment of about 500 people that clients that we see.
That's huge. Do you think at the community level that's changing in the time that you've been there and you've, you know, brought these services right there in the middle of that community? Has it been changing?
You know, I think it is. I think it is. And I think the reason it's changing is because most of our successful referrals. So we have referrals, you know, we have referrals coming in from schools, from county departments, Department of Children and Family Services, Mental Health Department, you know, all these different places. But the most successful referrals are the ones who are referred by a neighbor, a friend, or a family member. It's those walk-ins. It's those phone calls that we get directly from community members that are always the most successful. And that says a lot, because I would say about would probably say about 40% of our referrals are from individuals seeking this service because they've heard about us through somebody. And I think that just kind of speaks to where we're at in the community, and I'm getting distracted by sirens. I can't. Sorry.
That's up.
But yeah, so I think yes, we are. There is a change in the perception of mental health, just because I think individual families, they do see the benefit of it, and they're able to speak to their neighbors, to their friends, to their family members about it, who come in for services.
So if you could be granted one wish for the community that you serve, what do you think it would be?
It's a toss-up between providing them jobs, good-paying jobs, and providing them with housing. Poverty, I think, is one of the root causes of a lot of the issues in South LA and communities like South Los Angeles. So I think addressing poverty is at the top of the list. So providing them with jobs, good paying jobs.
So what is your favorite thing about the work that you do? About LA too, but like just about the work that you do. What's your favorite part of it?
My favorite part of my job is it's really seeing the impact, like visually seeing it, hearing it, feeling it, having families and people asking for you and telling you, thank you for having this place here. Hearing it from staff members, from our staff, and seeing how they feel the reward, and they feel like they've help someone make a difference in their lives. So just having those reaffirmations is very rewarding, because it's pretty tough, working and doing social work. So having these affirmations definitely fuels me.
I think we want to hear your favorite thing about LA, but I know that you're a brand new dad. So do you feel that your perception of our city has changed? Is there something, let's change the question. How about, as a brand new dad, what part of LA are you most excited to share with your baby?
The culture of LA. I mean, I feel I've always enjoyed living here. And now I think it's just magnified because I can share a number of adventures with my son. For example, like any day of the week, we can experience a different culture. We can experience a different music venue, a different style of music, different foods, different celebrations, different languages. So exposing him and accompanying him to that is what I'm looking forward to. And we can do it while it's sunny out and nice weather.
Yes, I agree with you on all of that.
Well, Carlos, thank you so much for sharing all this information about your work in South LA at Weber Community Center. And if people are interested in helping out, in what ways can they engage with you and with Weber Community Center?
Well, they can go to our website, www.ssg.org. That's SSG, and it stands for Special Service for Groups. That's our parent agency. And they can navigate through there and look for Weber Community Center. And we invite people. We have celebrations throughout the year. We have youth resource fairs. We have toy giveaways. We have art festivals. There's always something going on. And if someone just wants to learn about it, they can email me and stop on by. My email is cmoran, M-O-R-A-N, at webercommunitycenter.org.
Big thanks to Carlos for sharing his story. If you want to learn more or connect with Carlos, go to lasuperheroes.com.
And check back next Tuesday for another superhero interview. Between now and then, follow us on Facebook and Twitter for up-to-the-minute highlights of local awesomeness. See you next time.